You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kourula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wake Up Hollywood, this is your host with the most, Nikki Kourula. We're going to jump right into another quarantined episode of Wake Up Hollywood. We're doing it remotely. We'll call it remotely because that's what people do these days. Anyways, please welcome our wonderful guest, Sarah Rose Reynolds. How are you, Sarah?
Woohoo! I'm great. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
I love you. Like, I'm so happy to be here, but I'm just in my home right now. I'm happy you're home too.
Right.
So your name, let's talk about your name first. That just rolls right off the tongue. Sarah Rose Reynolds. Is that your birth name or is that your entertainment name?
No, that's my birth name. Yeah.
Awesome.
My middle name is Rose, but I think a lot of people think that my name is Sarah Rose. So they like to call me, "Hey, Sarah Rose." And I'm like, well, it's just Sarah, but my stage name. I had a psychic one time tell me that using my full name was very powerful. So I'm like, okay, it's Sarah Rose Reynolds, I guess.
It's awesome. It actually is a very strong name. And is there any significance with the rose in the middle?
Yeah, some dead relative. Okay. I never met her, but I think it was my great grandmother. Her name was Rose. So we have a few roses in the family, but I never met her, so.
Well, that's all right. You know what? You're carrying on the tradition and the heritage. So you started with comedy and acting. Tell me, like, what was the process of you becoming an artist a little bit? Like, what made you want to start that way and then maneuver into music?
Yeah, well, actually, the funny thing is I actually started with music, but I'm going to be totally honest with you. I've been scared of my own voice for many years.
What? That's crazy.
When I was 14, I learned how to play guitar and I fell in love with it. And I started writing my own songs, you know, around 15 or 16. But something was telling me, I can't share this with the world. It's too scary. and really that fear, took control for most of my life because I'm 40 now. And for like the last 25 years, I keep kind of coming out of what I call coming out of the closet and then going back in the closet.
Well, it's what I always tell people. It's like music never leaves us. We leave music. You know what I mean? And so it's like when it's in you, it's going to keep calling on you until you like answer the call and come back to it. Cause it's always going to like be at you to come back to it. You know,
it totally is, because there have been several times in my life where I was like, okay, I'm going to do this for a career. And I'd, you know, go make an album and then go out and start performing and going, I can't do it. And finally, a few years ago, I just said, I give up. I'm just going to be a comedian instead of a musician. And I started kind of going down that route. And then like the moment that I kind of gave up on music, then there wasn't like this pressure. I was like, oh, I just kind of want to just do it for fun. So now I'm doing it for fun, but I'm making this whole album and who knows where it will go. I don't know.
That's amazing. And it's also like crazy that you're like, I'm not going to do music. I'm going to go for something even really crazy. Like, because doing stand-up comedy, you know, I've had a co-host that was a comedian. I've had a lot of stand-up comedians on. And like one thing that I learned with just the art of stand-up comedy, you can never rehearse. You can never rehearse. Your rehearsal is the actual performance, because that's when you know when people are getting the joke and you're like whittling down the joke till it's ready to really, you know, get the laughs that you want. So I think that's even harder than music. Like, that's just crazy.
It's strange, but I feel so much more comfortable going in front of an audience knowing that I'm going to make them laugh, even if I'm like, I don't know what to say. I work best when it's last minute improvised, but with singing, that's like, you know, like most of my life, it's been so easy to be like the funny girl, but it, like, there's this side of me that is scared to show that I have a lot more depth than that. So I think that's part of,
that's the part we need to see. That's the part that is, it makes you feel alive, and B, I understand what you're feeling, because I feel like when you write music, especially words, any kind of poetry, it is really revealing. It is like you're wearing your emotions on your sleeve. You're kind of saying things that you may never say out loud. And I think the fact that that a melody is carrying the power of the words, it sometimes can disguise. And I say disguise because it's not watering down, but disguising it to be a feeling that could be something else rather than the potency of what it is. So, I think every songwriter goes through that. And I love that you're now embracing it. And what was the moment that you made you want to embrace it?
You know, like 2 years ago, I was listening to a podcast about people on their deathbeds who had what their regrets were. And I don't remember what the podcast was, but I remember this one man said he regretted that he didn't sing more, or maybe it wasn't even that. I just remember he was about to die and he was saying, I wish there's so much I wish that I had done. And I remember in that moment, I was on a run. I was running for exercise and listening to it and go, oh my God, I don't want to die with holding this in my whole life. I got to let it out. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then did you start writing music again, or did you kind of start covering songs? What was the kind of dipping your feet back in moment?
Well, it's funny. I think that covering songs still is a little bit of a safe place for me, because when it comes to writing, you know, yes, I have written my own original songs, but my natural writing style is more comedic because I have more of a comedic voice. So it's kind of conflicts with my, when I want to go write a really sad, dark song, I always want to have like this witty humor in it. I was like, no, you're going to ruin it. So I find that when it comes to songs right now, I'm super critical of when I try to write my own song. I'm constantly thinking, well, what are people going to think of it? It's like, God, get out of your freaking head, Sarah, you know?
That's part of it. You just have to get out of your own way. It's like,
I know.
It's hard because, you know, I think every artist goes through that. Every artist goes through that, like, oh my God, I can never do this. And then you go through the, oh my God, just quiet the mind. Mm-hmm. And then you go through this point where it's like, oh my God, I can do this. And then it's like this other point where it's like, fuck everybody, I know I can do this. So going through those like transitions, it's all part of the same tree. Every artist goes through it, so don't be afraid of it. Get out of your own way, girl.
I know.
That's all. I mean, it's like you have one life to live, so why not, right?
Well, that's my problem. I'm a big believer in reincarnation, so I'm like, oh, I've got so many more lives to live.
All right, this is your 30th life, and you know why go on to 31 for music? Wait for this.
I know. I keep thinking, well, if I don't get it this time, maybe I'll be a singer in my next life. I really think that. And it's like, ah, man, I might not get it so good in my next life. You know, I might.
Yeah, absolutely. I would definitely not hold on to the next life clause, because that shit ain't going to fly. You'll probably be like a sailor in your next life. And
right.
You can't do any of that. So,
and I can't carry a tune.
So what was the band or the artist when you first started playing guitar that made you fall in love with music?
Oh God. I mean, I'm embarrassed to say this now, but Sarah McLachlan.
I love her. Why? Are you
I'm dating myself. I like late 90s was my jam. I remember telling my parents that I was going to marry her someday. And before I even knew that I was gay, that's the funny part. And they were just like, oh, okay. Yeah, that's normal. And I just remember going, oh, she's so great. I'm just going to marry her. And I was so into her music. She is really what got me like excited about music.
Was the album Surfacing? Because that record is unbelievable.
Yeah. It was Fumbling Towards Ecstasy and Surfacing, both of those back to back. I just listened to them constantly, and I just thought I could do this someday, you know. And I even met her after the Lilith Fair. I snuck backstage. I know.
What?
I was 18 years old. I was like determined to meet her, and I made friends with this girl who was a vendor there. And I said to her, "Can I?" And she had a backstage pass, and I was like, "Can I borrow your pass so I could see if I could get backstage?" And she let me borrow her pass. And I got backstage and I found Sarah, and I went up to her. I said, "Hi, Sarah. You know," I was like, "oh, I'm such a big fan of yours, and I want to do what you do when I grow up." And she's like, "oh, great." And she said, "what's your name?" And I said, Sarah, and I even spell it the same way as you. And I just remember thinking, wow, if I could like meet my idol, like it was such a magical evening. I could do anything. And unfortunately, I think, you know, that was 20 years ago. I think I've lost a bit of that magic and I'm trying to get it back. So
no, that magic is still real. I mean, it's, you know, it's funny that you say that because for me, that artist was Dave Matthews. And I met him when I was, before I even started a band, and I knew I wanted to. And I remember standing behind a bus. It must have been like 2 hours. I was like literally standing behind a bus, inhaling exhaust. Like, oh my God, I think he's around the corner, but I have to wait till he comes out. And then he came out and there was like four people there. And I got to talk to him for an hour. And he was like, oh, let's, you know, these are my influences. You know, and he was like, oh, you know, every time I write, you know, lyrics, I feel like I'm writing a sappy love song. And I was just like, this is unbelievable that I'm having this conversation. And we just sat there for like 45 minutes talking about music and songwriting. And it just was like, okay, this is, you know, I cried after. I was like,
oh, I don't blame you.
This is the most magical thing, because it's like you recognize that that person is a more advanced stage of the person you want to be on some level. Mm-hmm, so it's like when you meet them and they're encouraging and they're, you know, that is, then they had those moments too. You know, I heard him say he went to a concert and Lyle Lovett was there at an award show and he froze. He was like, oh my God, Lyle Lovett's there. So they have those people too. Like, that's amazing. You got to meet her. What was the conversation like? What else did you say?
Oh, I mean, it wasn't very long. The show had just ended, the whole show for the whole night. You know, she had just finished singing with Sheryl Crow and Indigo Girls and all the big, you know, awesome names. And she was done for the evening, and she was in a golf cart and somebody was driving her around the golf cart. So I chased after the golf cart. That's how I found her. And it was pretty quick. I mean, she was probably like, how did this straggler get out of here? You know, because, you know, it was pretty high security. And I actually, the funny part is I remember I got into the role. So I was so afraid of being found out because I had to wait backstage for a while before she came out. So once I was backstage, I remember thinking, I need to really fit in or else they're going to kick me out and know that I'm just some 18-year-old kid. So I remember I was standing there putting my hand to my ear as if I was Secret Service.
That's awesome.
And here I was like this 18-year-old, you know, tomboy with like spiky hair and shorts and flip-flops on. And I thought, oh, they're going to think I'm probably part of security.
Hey, you know what? As long as you do something that makes it look like you know you're supposed to be there, that's all I want.
Oh, because my God.
You know what? It's, and you have to risk it too, because I've definitely been kicked out of many backstages and many side stages or wherever, whatever stages. But it's those, you have to roll the dice and make sure you can just try, because you'll have those moments.
Yeah.
And like, I always wanted to meet Sarah McLachlan because that record is unbelievable. So the fact that you had that experience is unbelievable. It's amazing.
Yeah. It was great. It was great. Yeah.
Well, anything that should inspire you always to keep writing songs, because like she is, I really feel like she is one of the jewels of songwriting, you know, and she takes her time with records now. Mm-hmm. Like she'll release one every like 6 to 10 years. And every time she does, I'm like, this is so good. It's always so good. So
yeah.
You know, let her music and the fact that you met her always inspire you to keep writing and keep pushing the envelope, because that's what it should, that's an amazing experience that you had, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I really need to sit with my fear of songwriting. I feel like I've gotten much better about embracing my actual, you know, singing voice. Now it's like, okay, what about your writing voice? That's also something you have to get over. So, you know, I keep thinking, well, maybe I'll just find like a co-writer who can write for me and then I can. But I honestly think, like, the truth is I know I'm a good writer. You know, I have to like write things for other things. And people are like, you're a really good writer. But I think there's something about my songwriting that it's It's just very vulnerable.
You know what? You're separating them, probably. You know, like, you're a strong writer. I mean, I just read your bio, and I'm like, this is strong writing, you know, because you can give a glimpse of your personality and show a slice of, this is who I am. All you got to do is make it fit in this rhythmic, you know, kind of prose, so that it fits whatever, you know, melody you're thinking about. Let's talk about your creative process. What is your creative process? Do you start with like a groove? Do you start with a theme? Do you start with a word?
There's two things. Because I have not been writing my own stuff lately, I have, I could talk about when I do write my own stuff first, but then, okay, I'll do that. And then I'll tell you the project I'm working on next. So basically I always have my guitar in hand with a notepad and pen and paper. It comes out at the exact same time. So I'll basically, you know, start fingering some chords and go, da, 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 da. Oh, that kind of sounded cool. And it's always simultaneous. I never write down lyrics and then put music to it, or vice versa. It's like it happens at the same time. Wow. Yeah. Is that normal?
Well, you know, I write in a couple different phases, but usually I think my strongest way to write is I'll write a riff, and then I'll take that riff and come up with a chord progression. And then from that chord progression, I'll start jibber jabbering a melody, and then I'll start. Sometimes I'll just sing a random word or group of words, and then those turn into the words I'm trying to say. Like it's like I'll just keep singing them until it's like, okay, what do I want to say about this? Is this about a lover? Is this about, you know, like life? Is this like an observation? Am I watching a scene? So like I try to like. You know, I think the biggest thing is like empathy is a big component with writing. You either have to empathize with yourself and heal something within yourself, or it's like you're empathizing with something that's going on politically or spiritually or out in the world. So I just try to picture something in my mind, and that's when I go to the races and start actually writing lyrics. And then it's like as soon as verse one's done, it's like a relief because now there's a flow and, you know, it got to the point where I would know when the magic was going. Like I would write and then I'd be like, oh, I only got a verse today, and then never again. Or it would come back like 3 weeks later or a month. But now it's like, I'm like pretty diligent about the process. Like you have to just keep at it. Like even what you just said, writing things at the same time. I love that because that means you're very fluid in those moments and you're just like wanting it to be present in the moment, capturing lightning in a bottle. And that's rare. So if that works for you, run with it and always make that the process, you know?
Well, that's the thing. It's rare. Like I remember, oh boy, you know, I wrote this song when it's called When I Left You back in 2005. And it was about a relationship that just ended. And I was so broken up about it that I remember I picked up my guitar and it, you know, how sometimes there are songs that you just like throw up. It came out of me. It was like I gave birth. It was just like.
Those are my favorite. Cause it's like, the best. Oh, I feel like my soul is lighter, you know?
Oh God, it was so good. And I just thought to myself, it's so rare that I have an experience like that. And so I thought for a long time, oh, I just haven't had my heart broken enough because I kept breaking other people's hearts. So I thought maybe I should go out and get my heart broken and then see if that helps my songwriting. And it did a little bit, actually.
I love that you're like, you know what? Maybe I need to get my heart broken to find who I am as an artist. That is never the process. I love that. I'm like, my heart's broken. I need to write about it because I need to get it out of me. That's awesome.
Yeah. I don't know. I am so drawn to just the dark melancholy. It is, people are always shocked because, you know, when they hear me speak and I'm generally a pretty bubbly person, but when it comes to my music, even the cover songs I do, they're always just like, oh God, you know, like give me a tissue. And I think that's my way of expressing that side of myself that I don't on a regular basis, you know, so we all have to let it out somehow. I cannot write a happy song to save my life. I cannot.
Now you can. When you realize that you're not breaking hearts or getting your heart broken, then you're like, oh, I'm happy. And then you'll have writer's block. And then you write about being happy. So that's, I'm just giving you the roadmap so you know how to get there.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. It almost seems impossible. Like when I think about writing a happy song, it feels like I would seem cheesy. It's like my only relationship to my guitar and my voice is from a place of pain, which is really interesting. But, you know,
maybe that's your thing. That could be your thing. That's what, you know, people look for. But don't be afraid to write the happy song.
Okay.
You don't need to be tortured your whole life.
I know, right?
So tell me about this new project you're doing and then we'll play something.
Okay. So, you know, because I haven't been doing a lot of my own songwriting, I do a lot of covers. And recently, well, in the last year or so, I thought, you know what? I don't want to just like do a cover of a song. I want to take a song that I love, particularly some old 80s and 90s pop songs that were my favorites, and just keep the lyrics and make a completely new musical arrangement. Because for me, that is really fun. It's like, oh, look, somebody gave me lyrics. Okay, I could like have fun with the music now. And so I started doing that and it's just been so great. I love it so much. And I'm in the studio working with a producer and we're making an EP right now. Maybe it will grow bigger, but it's really fun. I think one of the songs I think I sent you a Billie Eilish song, which is just a pretty standard. It's more of a cover. I didn't change the musical arrangement, but the other two that I sent you are flipped on top of their heads. And
well, it's interesting too. It's like you're taking a cover, you're changing the melody, correct?
Uh-huh. Completely.
If you're changing the melody, why not just make it your own song and write your own words to it? That's what I do. That's exactly what I do. I will cover a song.
Yeah.
Change it. Move the chords around in a different order. Change the melody. Change the words. There's that song. So like, I'm telling you, you're doing a process. You're doing a process that is super cool, but the one extra step is your voice, you know, that you could be also writing original songs like that. So just keep it in mind, because I'm telling you, that's like, if I write a good song and somebody comes up to me at a show and like, oh man, I love that song, I will say, oh, you must be a Beatles fan, because I know the song I took it from, or I know artist style. Oh, you must love this artist, you know? And I continue to write like that. So use it as a tool. I'm telling you, you will always find inspiration that way, you know?
That's it. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that advice. Yeah.
Well, let's hear, what are we going to play first? What do you want to play as first?
You know what? Let's just start with When Doves Cry. Prince's When Doves Cry.
Awesome. All right. Yeah. Here's When Doves Cry, Sarah Rose Reynolds.
Dig, if you will, the picture of you and I engaged in a kiss. The sweat of your body covers me. Can you, my darling, can you picture this dream? If you can, a courtyard, an ocean of violets in bloom. Animals strike curious poses. They feel the heat between me and you. My father too bold. Baby, you're just like my mother. She's never satisfied. Why do we scream at each other. This is what it sounds like when doves cry. Touch, if you will, my stomach. Feel how it trembles inside. You've got the butterflies all tied up. Don't make me chase you. Even doves have pride. Even doves have pride. How can you just leave me standing alone in a world that's so cold? Maybe I'm just too demanding. Maybe I'm just like my father, too bold. Maybe I'm just like my mother, she's never satisfied. Why do we scream at each other? This is what it sounds like when doves cry. When doves cry. When doves cry. When doves cry.
That was awesome. That was so awesome.
Thank you.
Man, that was so crazy. I mean, yeah, that song is, that's like aching for you to write your own words to that. That is an awesome melody. I love that. It was such a great interpretation of that song.
Thank you. It really actually came, it just came out of me very quickly, like in under 10 minutes. I remember, I think I was in the shower and I was like, oh, maybe I should do When Doves Cry. And so I got out and I went to the living room and I picked up my guitar and I looked at the lyrics online and I just like in under 10 minutes, I had the whole melody and I was like, oh my God, this just needed to come out. So yeah. And it was really fun working with my producer on it because, you know, we're like really in tune with each other I don't know. It's fun. It's really fun. Yeah.
I just love Prince too. So like, the fact that you covered him, it's like, oh my God, oh my God. Yeah. And what made you choose that song? Because, man, it's hard to choose a Prince song. There's so many.
You know, the funny thing is I'm not a huge Prince fan. No, it's not that I don't like him. I grew up loving Michael Jackson growing up. He was like my guy. And I hyper-focus on like one person. So like, there was no room in my world to love both of them, I guess. So I loved MJ. And with Prince, you know, there were some songs that I remember going, oh, this is a fun song. But like this one, I always remember, I just remember like, you know, maybe you're just like my mother, just like kind of listening and going,
so funky. It's so good.
Yeah. It's so, and I just thought, I don't know, there's something about this song I like. So it's not like it's one of my favorites as opposed to the other songs I'm making for the album are some of my favorites. This was the only one that I was like, oh, it's not like I was like in love with the song, but it needed to happen, I guess. So
I love it. It's such a cool and ingenious cover because I could listen to that and had you not told me that that was the song, I wouldn't know for a while until you sing the chorus.
Right, right?
So cool. It's
And it makes you listen to the lyrics a totally different way, you know?
It's a strong melody. It's definitely a strong melody. And I challenge you to write something to that outside. Okay.
You mean the same melody, just putting my own lyrics?
Absolutely. I would have done that 1,000 years ago. I mean, honestly, because it doesn't sound like a Prince song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It sounds like you know, and it's like you can literally take those words and, you know, I got asked a long time ago, maybe about 10 years ago, I went to USC School of Music and one of my teachers asked me to come back and do a concert and it was with the English department, which is weird because it wasn't the School of Music. And one of the English professors wanted me to rewrite a Bob Dylan tune, These Times Are Changing. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I literally took the lyrics and, like, wrote word for word different lyrics to every and modernized it. He wanted a modern "These Times Are Changing" version. And it was a great guy. I think his lyrics and line for line, what inspires you with that? Because you already have the melody, you know. It's like that could be a hit song. And you don't even know it, you know. Like, just like scraping the surface. It's great.
Yeah. Thank you. I will definitely. I'll try that exercise sometime. Yeah. I think, you know what? It's so funny. I am such a feeler. Like, I have to really feel something in order to make it happen. I'm that way with my food. I'm that way with, you know, with like, with everything. Let me see. Am I in the mood? Am I feeling it? And I know that some songwriters are more, a little bit more cerebral, and it's just like, oh, they come from more of a headspace of a writing place. I like, if I'm not completely feeling something, nothing comes out. It's like, if I try to write a song from more of my headspace, it's not going to have the passion that it has when I'm feeling, because I'm such a passionate person, you know?
Well, I think maybe ironically, when you write to something like that, you get in your head and you stop feeling. You like cut off the level of feeling the song, because that is a song. I mean, you made it your own. That's what's so cool about that song. You could use that as a cover, or you could use that as a vehicle to write something else to that. Mm-hmm. So you can play around and see which one beats it for you, you know, because it's hard to beat a Prince song, but I think you just reconfigured a Prince song in a way that could very much be your own. So it's interesting. It's like, yeah, I think it's fascinating. I think it's fascinating that you took what could have been a slam dunk melody, which is Prince's melody,
and
decided to be creative on that and not take his melody and then make something. And like, maybe his words gave you the liberty to do that, which is kind of neat. Really fascinating. I love songwriting so much. So it's like, when I see an artist do something like that, interpret, you know, a song like that, to me, it's always like, wow, like, how did you even start with that? And what made you choose that song? Like, that song, you said you always felt it, but was it the lyrics? Was it the message? Was it the sound? Was it just like where it came to you in your life at some point?
Honestly, I mean, I think that I was thinking about 80s and 90s pop songs to do. And at one point I had looked over the lyrics and he says in the chorus, you know, how could you just leave me standing alone in a world so cold? And that resonated with me because, you know, I thought about my father and my exes and I was like, yeah, how could you leave me standing? And so I thought, but the way he says it is not very passionate. And I thought, I want to do a version of this where I'm like, really? No, how could you leave me standing? You know, because the way he's just like, you know,
yeah, he's kind of like squeezing.
I can't even think about it. He's so monotone about it. And I thought, no, God, you need to have more passion behind it. So I was drawn to the chorus first and then the verse, the melody for the verse came. So I think really that's where it came from.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your influences. You said Sarah McLachlan is one. Michael Jackson was another. Now we know Prince on some level was. Who else?
Oh, my God, my influences. I mean, again, okay. So I listened to a lot of, you know, as a teenager, I listened to James Taylor and Joni Mitchell and Van Morrison. And
awesome.
I was into folk. And I think mostly I've been into folk type music. Except for the years that I was into, you know, poppy stuff, Paula Abdul. But that was when I was really young.
She was my first concert, just so you
was
know.
Was she? Oh, my God.
You know, I told people for a long time, Tom Petty was my first concert, but it was actually my second concert. My first real concert was Paula Abdul with Color Me Bad opening up.
Oh, my God.
It was awesome. It was like, I think it was like 89 or 90, something like that. And, man, I was on cloud nine. It was like,
oh, that's incredible.
That era is just like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it was just like this new era of being loud and obnoxious and fun, you know?
Oh, totally. Yeah, it's so funny. Like, you know, probably like in elementary and middle school, I was into a lot more poppy stuff. But as I got into being a teenager and then all the way up until now, I've really been more attracted to folk. And I don't mean like traditional folk. You know, I'm a huge fan of Patty Griffin and
I love her. She's like a writer's writer. That's what I love
about her. Oh, God. She was my favorite. I got to meet her, too.
What?
I know. Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was a little bit of a different experience, but I don't need to go into it.
She wasn't nice? Patty Griffin wasn't nice?
Well, I caught her while she was eating lunch, and maybe she just didn't want to be disrupted. But
yeah, but, you know,
I've been with nicer people.
I don't believe in that because it's like, listen, if you're going to live, you know that you playing music is going to lead you to a life of being out in public and being a public figure. So it's like, if you're going to eat lunch in a public place, you should be a nice person in a public place. That's the way.
I know. It was a bit of a bummer, but I still like her music. I mean, she was literally I was working at a Whole Foods at the time. I was like 21 working at Whole Foods, and I had tickets for her concert that night in Massachusetts where I was living. And she was sitting in the cafe at Whole Foods with her band members eating sushi before the gig. And I saw her and I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I've been so into her for so long. And I didn't want to marry her though, but she was like mid bite about to eat a piece of sushi. And I just went up to her and I said, I just wanted to say, you know, I'm such a big fan of yours and I have tickets to see your show tonight. And she just stopped and she looked at me sort of with this look of like, okay, will you go away now? Like, can't you see I'm busy? She didn't say anything. And I was like, it was very awkward. I was like, okay, I guess I'll leave you. Okay. And I remember walking away going, oh, it was the worst.
You know what? I met Paul McCartney. I've also met Prince too.
Whoa.
And you know what? Like, I met Paul McCartney and he was so kind and so and so down to earth that literally, and I was like when I was making my first record too, and I literally thought no one has the right to be an asshole because Paul McCartney was just super cool to me and he's a Beatle. So it's like, I don't have any sympathy for any celebrity of any sort in any genre that's rude because it's like, you had tickets to her show that night.
Right.
You're funding that sushi meal.
Right? I know.
Like, there's no excuse. And you know what? You'll meet her again, and hopefully she'll be cooler the second time. So let's play something else. What are we going to play next?
Let's see. Let's play...
It better not be a Patty Griffin tune.
No. I do cover a handful of her songs, but no. Not... Yeah, you know what? Let's just go ahead and do Billie Eilish, When the Party's Over. This one is, you know, this is just going to be what I would call a standard cover because I didn't change the musical arrangement. But if you listen to her, it's my version of it. And it's I felt like doing it and I don't know what else to say about it.
Here's When the Party's Over by Sarah Rose Reynolds.
You know I'm no good for you. I've learned to lose. You can't afford to. Tore my shirt to stop. You leaving quiet when I'm coming home. I'm on my own and I can lie and see I like and like there, like and like there. And I can lie and see I like and like there, like and like there. Don't you know too much already?
I'm gonna give you huge compliments.
Oh, okay.
Huge compliments.
Okay. Let me get ready.
I love your version more than the original.
Oh my god.
You know what? Like, I like Billie Eilish. I think she's cool and she has some cool sounds and stuff. But I never have felt like the songs. I feel like when she just sang it like that, it would speak to me more. Because it's just too much like of a whisper, and I like singers that do that, but it's just like every song of hers is a little bit like that.
Yeah.
Like you have dynamics in the song, and like there's a cello, and there's real instruments, and I felt the words and the lyrics way more. I got chills. I totally got chills. I was like, man, I've never gotten chills from Billie Eilish's version, but I got chills from you singing. Honestly, it was awesome.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. Awesome. Thank you.
Tell me why you chose that song and what made you inspired to do it.
Honestly.
Because that's not from the 80s or 90s.
It is not. No, it's not. It's, God, I'm such a sucker for like just.
You like the, like brooding, I just, you like the brooding songs. I'm like that.
Yeah. It's a song that I liked with a woman that I was dating, and she even did this like dance to it when we were together. It was like real sexy and stuff, and and then we broke up, and well, I shouldn't say we broke up. She wasn't ready to commit and I was ready to commit, and so we had to end things. And I was really sad about it, and I didn't know what to do with all of my feelings, so I thought, well, I don't quite feel like writing my own song, but I know that this song meant something to both of us. I'm going to throw all my feelings into this song, and hopefully it will. I just took all my pain and threw it into that song. And I think it was the first time that I actually really tried to stretch myself a little bit vocally. I've never done that before. I've always
had a great voice. I don't know why you've been afraid of it, because I mean, I've heard some singers that I'm like, man, those are not good singers. You're a very good singer. How are you afraid of your voice?
You know what? I'm going to tell you something that you can think I'm the biggest wackadoodle ever, but I'm pretty new agey, okay? And I have a theory of why I'm afraid of my own voice. And all your listeners can be like, oh, well, I liked her until she said this. remember how I told you I believe in reincarnation?
Yeah.
I believe, and this has been validated by several psychics that I've seen also, that I was killed in a previous lifetime for sharing my voice. Wow. And I remember when I first started singing for people, I remember shielding my head. I was every time if they would make a move, I would get afraid that they like, and they're like, Sarah, what are you so scared of? And I think, I know. And like, look, some people might be like, oh my God. All right. Oh boy.
Oh, you're no, that's very real. That's very real.
It's real to me. And, you know, I think that we, I believe that we live many, that we are souls that have human experiences over and over, and we're here to learn different lessons. And something really bad happened in one of my previous lives, and I've carried it over with me, and I'm here to learn that I'm going to be safe this time, but it's taken me a long time.
That's really powerful. That's a powerful story.
So, yeah.
Real. That's awesome.
So I know. I mean, it's like
I'm not afraid anymore. I thought it was like answering machine syndrome, where you hear something like, oh, I can't. No. Hey, that's way deeper, you know.
If, no, it's,
if it was answering machine syndrome. Yeah, that's why I'm not gonna buy that.
No, it's like I'm literally afraid that I'm gonna be killed. If I
that's a good enough reason to be afraid. I'm gonna give you that. I'm gonna give you that as a valid reason.
Thank you.
But I will tell you, you sing like that, no one's gonna kill you. So don't worry.
I'm telling you, it is so irrational, but it feels so real to me too. So anyway,
well, I think every singer goes through that. I mean, even Adele, like, she's top of the heap, you know, and she is still afraid to do vocals live. And
right. Doesn't she throw up before her performance?
Yeah. She throws up before her performance, and she has like massive stage fright. And I saw her once perform. I saw her perform at the Grammys, and she stopped in the middle of it because she was so off with the orchestra. And she was like on the verge of tears. She's like, no, wait, it's a George Michael tribute. I have to stop. I just have to start over because this is not how I envisioned this going. And everybody started like screaming for her. And I was like, that was awesome that she was like sliding down the mountain and knowing that it was bad.
Yeah.
And it's just because like, sometimes we're just afraid, you know, and it's okay. It's okay to be afraid.
Yeah. Maybe the two of us were killed in the same performance, you know.
Maybe your long lost souls.
Yeah.
We were like each other to comfort each other. Yeah, maybe we were like, a duo. You were a
duo, right?
That's awesome. I love it. What are you going to play this next? What's next?
I am going to play. Okay, so one of my favorite songs when I was really young was Whitney Houston's Greatest Love of All. Oh, there was something about that song that just really touched me. And so I have done a reimagined version of this. And what you're going to hear is actually, it's produced, but it's not fully produced. It's actually my good friend, Abby Posner, who you know.
Yep.
She,
been a guest on the show.
Yeah. So she started producing this for me, and then she got really busy with stuff. So there's like no drums and stuff like that, but you could get the gist of it. And I'm psyched about this song because we're going back in the studio with another producer, and we're going to have a lot of fun with this song. So Whitney Houston's Greatest Love of All.
Here's Greatest Love of All by Sarah Rose Reynolds.
I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everyone's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. found anyone who fulfilled my need. What a lonely place to be. So I learned to depend on me. I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadows. If I fail, if I succeed, at least I live as I believe. No matter what they take from me, they can't take away my dignity. Because the
that was awesome.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going to give you another challenge. You got to put your own words to that. I mean, that is, honestly, that's a hit song. I mean, man, you got to put your own words to that. You absolutely have to put your own words to that.
You know what? I think the thing with my lack of confidence with songwriting is that I am a very literal person. And so when I do try to write a song, it ends up sounding like a country song. Well, I went here and I did that, and then I felt this way about it.
And, well, that's, country songs are some of the best songs because of that.
I know, but I think that I wish that I feel like my songwriting can be sort of simple, and so it takes away from
the best songs. Those are the best songs.
Yeah.
Everything you're going to say about songwriting that you think should not be the way is actually the way. That's what's ironic. The best songs are the simple ones. I don't want to hear a complicated song. You know, that Billie Eilish song, it's not that complicated. It's very simple. Mm-hmm. And those are the best songs. They say it. I find the best songs to me are the ones that say something that was right under your nose and you didn't find it, but they did. You know what I mean? Like it could be a melody, it could be a sound, it could be a group of words, the title of the song. I mean, any one of those, when they say it like that, it resonates. And it makes time stand still when it's like, oh, they found the perfect combination to make this song make you feel something, you know?
Yeah. So
the simplicity of a song, that's the best. So accessible. So don't be afraid of that. Ever.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't ever be afraid of that.
Well, I think
you'll surprise yourself. You need to write original lyrics to those songs. Because you're coming up with your own melodies. It's like you're
not that's the easy part.
That's not the easy part. That's the hardest part.
Really?
So I feel like you have two original songs. The Billie Eilish one was definitely more of her. But you totally have two original songs in those covers. You should write, just try, because I'm telling you, those are strong songs. And with you, when you put your perspective and kind of like make some kind of parallel with the song that you're covering, oh my God, slam dunk. I'm going to tell you, that's going to be a way that you, when you learn how to unlock that and do it, that's going to be your writing style all the time. And I'm telling you from experience, I learn songs and then I write songs. Yeah. I have to learn songs constantly to write. Like, it's just like, I don't just sit and when I learn enough songs and then I sit at a piano and I just start writing, that's because of all the songs I've learned. It's never like, I'm just going to write something great right now. It's never like that.
Yeah.
It's just like every song has an influence and the best songs have that influence. So don't be afraid of that. That's my goal. Fortune cookie for you because I've been doing this a long time and you got something and you just have to now believe your own words. That's all you got to do. That's the fortune cookie for the night right there.
Oh, I have a fortune cookie right there.
Well, where can people find you if they want you to write a song for them or catch a YouTube video of yours? Where can people find you?
Yeah. Okay. So, my YouTube channel, I just actually started it like a week ago because I thought, well, I'll just add some songs on here. The link. Oh yeah. This is radio. Okay. So let's see. Well, it's under Sarah Rose, but there's probably a ton of Sarah Roses out there. If you just look up Greatest Love of All or When Doves Cry cover mixed with Sarah Rose, you'll be able to find me. But I don't have the specific, you know.
That's all right. Do you have a website or anything or Facebook? Or
I don't have a website. I have Facebook. You could find me under Sarah Rose Reynolds. And Sarah has a silent H at the end. Sarah Rose Reynolds. Again, Sarah. And same with Instagram. I'm on that as Sarah Rose Reynolds. So that's the best way to find me. And then my link for my YouTube is in my bio on Instagram. But I don't know. Do I give out my phone number too?
No, don't do that. Don't give away everything.
Address?
I don't want any of that stuff because then people will be knocking on your doors and you're like, what are you doing? And like, oh, we found you on Wake Up Hollywood. No, I don't want that link to me at all. So
Okay.
We're in two mysterious rooms.
I need new friends. I guess I can.
You're awesome. Thank you for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. We're going to definitely have you back. And when we have you back, I'm going to give you a challenge. We're going to have you back and you're going to have all original songs. And you can even use the two songs that we played tonight as originals. Actually, I would love if you did that. That would be an amazing way to have you come back. I want to hear fully produced versions of original songs. You're fantastic. You don't even know it, but you're fantastic, and you should be writing songs all the time.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much for having me on the show. This was really fun. This was great.
It's awesome. You're awesome. On behalf of Sam, myself, and Sarah, we'll see you guys next week. Thank you, Sarah. We'll have you back in about 9 or 10 months, so get to work. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and we'll see you next Tuesday, 9 o'clock, same bat channel, same bat time. Bye for now.
Listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Korula and Eddie Pence. right here on LA Talk Radio.